This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's year 27.
Okay.
And nailed it. I've probably said this too many times, but I turned 54 this year. So if I'm still around at the end of the season, I will have spent half of my life as a Royals broadcaster.
Wow. Did you have any moment at the very beginning where you're like, man, did I make the right choice here? Going to the right? Was there like 6 months in? Because, you know, fans never like the new guy.
Yeah.
It always goes like awkward at the beginning. They're like, no, it's not the way I liked it sound before or whatever else. We deal with that in radio all the time.
Well, I was sitting in Fred White's chair, who'd been here for 25 years and was here during the glory years in the 70s and the 80s. And I was just some 28-year-old from the Minnesota Twins, and I had no ties to the area at all. So I knew it was going to be difficult, and fortunately, there was no such thing as social media back then. So
no, see, that helps.
People who hated me had fewer ways to tell me that they hated me, but I got letters. There were letters to the
letters?
Editor. Oh, yeah. Aww. And, you know, whenever you get a letter and there's no return address to it, you know this is not going to be good. But I tried to respond as best as I could. But yeah,
your late 20s, that's a tough time to just be taking a lot of criticism.
Yeah. At least when I started with the Twins, at least I'd been to the University of Minnesota and I played baseball there. I mean, you know, I wasn't a Minnesotan, but they kind of saw me sort of as one of their own, but not here. And but you know what? To be honest, when I look back on it now, guys, people were fair. They gave me a fair chance. Denny was great to me. I owe Denny everything. I mean, the credibility that he gave me in the early years. I mean, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now if Denny and I didn't hit it off the way that we did right away.
I was looking back, like, it's so funny. It's like the Kansas City thing. It's like, just mention barbecue or jazz music. If you're in Minnesota, just mention Peanuts, you know, like Prince, and you're pretty much good, right? You just got to figure out the things that endear you to the city.
Yeah, the lakes, mosquitoes. You know, you start talking about mosquitoes in Minnesota, they're like, oh, you know, he's
been around here a little while.
He's one of us. Yeah, exactly.
What do you think about the starting pitcher being out for the Guardians today? Bit of a shift here early?
Yeah, that's always a fascinating thing because the initial response is, okay, we don't have to face Tanner Bibee. But there's something about a player who was not expected to play. And now this is opening day, so it's different. But no player or pitcher would admit this. But I think there's this almost immediate sense of, you know what? Nobody's expecting anything of me today. So I'm just going to go out there and do my best. I didn't get a whole lot of time to prepare. And more times than not, that guy does pretty good because of that. Just going out there, I'm just going to do the best that I can today.
Nobody's going to blame me if it doesn't go well.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. And we had Ben Lively here for a short period of time.
Yeah, we did.
And he had a really good year for them last year. You know, anytime a team has an unexpected good year, as Cleveland did last year, I mean, I don't think anyone figured they were going to win the division the way that they did. That usually means you have players who had unexpected good years. And Ben Lively was one of those guys for the Guardians.
The Royals seem to have real expectations, though, this year. I know last year in this very time we were sitting here, we were talking about how different the opening day roster was compared to the year prior. This go around, there's a couple new pieces, but the majority of this team is back in the same spot. This year, we talked to fans. I know you talked to fans. It feels like it's not just about making the playoffs. People are looking at that division crown.
Yeah, and for this generation of fans, we know two things: the World Series and winning the World Series. I mean, because in 14 and 15, you know, it had been 29 years since the Royals had been to the postseason, and we went to back-to-back World Series. So it was a little strange to be bumped out in the division series because, you know, it had been so long. I mean, well, let's see, how far do you have to go? You have to go back before 1985 when the Royals were eliminated.
That's a pretty standard way people go to the postseason sometimes.
Right. So I think while it ended shorter than we wanted to, it was still a extremely successful season, and it gave them a taste. You know, there's a lot of guys on this team that have won before somewhere else, but this group has never won together. So they got a taste of it. They know what it takes to get there, and they're hungry because the season finished quicker than they wanted to. You know, and it's if there's one thing that is frustrating about the way the postseason ended, the Yankees beat the Royals 3 games by 4 runs.
I know.
It's not like the Yankees came in and just bludgeoned the Royals and, hey, we're just lucky to be here. I mean, those were all winnable games. The Yankees played much better than in the ALCS against Cleveland than they did against the Royals. And I remember after the Royals won game 2 in New York, there were a lot of nervous people in New York that they were going to come here and we were going to win this series. They were not playing with a whole lot of confidence, but you know, they pitched well. Giancarlo Stanton got hot, and so anyway, all that being said, that these guys, it shouldn't be a false sense of motivation. They should really feel like they can compete with the best teams in the playoffs.
Can the offense get better? So, like, there's always the players that are like, okay, do MJ's swing fixes help? Can Massey stay healthy? You know, like, there's always the players that, like, there's a little more unknown about. Mm-hmm. Can the offense get better simply just because there'll be guys in front of the guys who are good at producing runs?
The offense,
like, India's on base, and now all the guys who are already good at being RBI guys, Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi, can just put more runs in.
The offense has to be better. Now, if you look at the stats, the Royals were 6th in the league in runs per game. That's pretty good. When Vinny went down, they were 3rd in the American League in runs per game. And you think, wow, what a great lineup. No.
It's all coming from those
Bobby,
three.
Vinny, and Salvi carried that offense. And just about everybody else in that lineup, outside of Massey when he was healthy, just about everyone in that lineup had a down year. So to go in, and I'm going to say Vinny drove in 100 runs. I mean, he drove in 97 runs in 5 months. I mean, he would have driven in 100 runs. So let's say Vinny drove in 100 runs. I don't think you can go into the season this year expecting all three of those guys to drive in 100 runs again. Other guys are going to have to pick up the slack. Other guys, spots 5 through 9 are going to have to get on base more often, move runners more often, drive runs more often. Now, if all three of those guys drive in 100 runs again, and the other 6 are good, then they're going to be in really good shape. But those three guys, you can't expect them to just carry the offense again like they did last year.
We're talking to Ryan Lefevre here on 96.5 The Fan. Cody asked you a little bit there in his question about MJ. I heard you with CDOT earlier on in the week as well. The biggest swing player for individually for that player and also for the season, I think you said MJ Melendez, if I'm not mistaken, was your answer. I agree with you. We also brought up maybe even Chris Bubich. Who do you think on the pitching side and on the hitting side could be the big swing for maybe in their careers too?
How about I give you a few? I don't know if I've narrowed it down to one, but I agree with Chris Bubich. I agree with MJ Melendez. And then I will also add in Kyle Isbell and Michael Garcia. Their ability to get on base more in the number 9 spot is going to help Jonathan India in the number 1 spot when the lineup turns around, which then helps Bobby, which helps Vinny, which helps Salvi, so on and so forth. And I think for Isbell and Garcia and Melendez, and I don't want to sound like I'm oversimplifying this, but I think it's as much of a mindset as it is changing their swings. What Vinny did last year showed that you don't have to have an enormous amount of home runs. You don't have to have a huge OPS. You don't have to win a batting title. you can just find ways to drive in runs.
Sack fly king last year.
Sack flies, ground balls, broken bats. And that's Vinny's willingness to drive in a run. And it seems like we're getting out of an era where players thought, I'm going to go up there and find a pitch that I can crush. And it works in the minor leagues. And you can hit 30 or 40 home runs in the minor leagues and drive in a bunch of runs against single A and double A and sometimes triple A pitchers. But when you're facing Tarek Skubal, then there's a runner at third base with one out in a tie game. I don't know if you want to go up there thinking, I'm going to find a pitch that I'm going to hit into the 10th row.
Not off Skubal.
You got to find a way when you're facing major league pitching. How do I drive in runs? Vinny has that figured out at a very young age. And so I don't know if it's – I mean, I'm sure MJ's mechanics are going to help him. It looked good in spring training. I think Michael Garcia going back to the opposite field again, and I saw that in spring training. Kyle Isbell's ability to think about getting on base and not necessarily driving the ball. And no fault of his, but when you're a number nine hitter, they're going to pitch to you. A number nine hitter can't be a patient hitter. You're going to be 0-1, 0-2 all day long. I think his willingness to accept that role and try and get on base, that's mindset stuff. That's not swing, hand, stride, front hip, front shoulder. And Vinny has a mindset as a run producer that's well beyond his years. That's not an accident that he drove in 97 runs in 5 months.
Who do you think, by the way, out of the Central, is it today? Who's the team you think stands in the way the most for the Royals this year? Is the toughest challenger for the Royals this year? We both think the Royals did more than any other team in the division to improve their team this offseason. So is it the winner last year, the Guardians, Twins? Who do you like?
Well, I think you just can't count out Cleveland. They just have a knack of. Yep. I mean, they've done a lot of winning.
They lost Bieber last year, and I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
That team's done. And then they won the division.
They just continue to win. I mean, they know how to win. I think last year was the third straight year that they were the youngest team in the major leagues, and they've gone to the playoffs two of the last 3 years.
That's crazy.
Are they better at finding players and developing players? I don't know. But when you have a winning culture and you go to the ballpark and you expect to win, that's a big part of the equation. There's no statistic for that, but that's a real thing. And then I think you have to look at Detroit. Detroit's saying all the things that the Royals are saying right now. You know, they came back from the dead. They had a winning season. They ended up in the postseason. They got a taste of it. I think the Tigers...
They got pitching.
The Tigers feel about their season the way we feel about our season.
Between Job and Skubal, it's like I fear their pitching. There are problems on their roster, but I fear their pitching for sure.
Ryan Lefevre, you're going to be on FanDuel Sports Network, new network, same network, new name and everything.
For blue logo.
Blue logo.
They get you some new polos?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, can we get some old ones for our Cody and Gold garage sale?
We'll take the old Bally one.
The old Bally one?
Yeah, you know, game used. Game used if you wore it, you know?
Yeah, so... it doesn't really change much for us in the booth, but I think it's going to be good for the viewers because there are more ways to watch the Royals on television than in the history of this franchise. I mean, we're back on over-the-air television again for select amount of games. We're still on all the cable providers. We're still on all the satellite providers, with the exception of one, I believe. And if streaming's your thing, and more streaming is your thing, there are easy ways to get it, affordable ways to get it. I think I saw that it's if you get the season pass either at MLB.com, FanDuel Sports Network, the direct-to-consumer app, or if you get it through Amazon Prime, you're paying 65 cents a game to get 154 Royals games. So we're still in a transition period where people are getting used to streaming in just different ways. I'm old enough now. I remember when the shift went to cable and everyone went, oh, you can't do that. People don't have cable television. Well, that didn't last for very long. But there are more ways to watch the Royals now than ever before.